Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Now, here's the subject: the person and work of Jesus Christ. I have before me today the greatest subject on which a man can attempt to preach. There's no greater subject. This is the gospel. This is the foundation. This is it. This is the testimony of God, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not only the greatest subject. Now, I'll tell you this, it's the most difficult subject. The most difficult. For who can tell the unsearchable riches of his person? Who can describe the glory and greatness of his work? What a mystery. God incarnate. What a mystery. God in human flesh. That's what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3. He said, without a doubt, without controversy, without debate, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Seen of the angels. Justified in the Spirit. Preached to the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up into glory. Years before that, Job wrote these words: can you, by searching, find out God? Can you find out the Almighty to perfection? So what an awesome task I have today. What a difficult task. A great subject. An important subject. A vital subject. But a difficult subject. Paul wrote these words too, Romans 11. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable. And you expect me to speak on it? How unsearchable are his judgments. His ways past finding out. Unspeakable, unsearchable. Well, here's the text. Let's try it. The person and work of Christ. I'll preach if I can by God's Spirit. You listen if you are enabled and hear. It says here in Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Everlasting life, everlasting rule and reign, and everlasting glory, and everlasting peace. Now here in the same breath that the prophet calls this person a child, he calls him a counselor. Unto us a child is born. His name, Counselor. In the same breath that he calls him the Son is given. He calls him the Father, the Everlasting Father. You figure that one out. He says in his writings, his garments are rolled in blood. And yet, he's the Prince of Peace. How can he be both? He says he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows, and yet he's the Mighty God. He says he is despised and rejected of men, and yet the government is on his shoulders. He shall not fail. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands, and he'll bring in everlasting rule and everlasting peace. There's no contradiction here. There's a contradiction to the natural mind, but not to the regenerate heart. It's all true of Christ our Lord. He's talking with the same person, the child, the counselor, the son, the father, the warrior, the Prince of Peace, the man of sorrows, the Mighty God, the rejected one, the exalted one, all same person. But I tell you, this is a mystery. But it's not learned by reason. It's not learned by research. It's learned by revelation. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things God's prepared in Christ for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth the deep things of God. Yea, the deep things of God. There's no seeing Christ except in His own light. See, this is the problem that folks have. They're trying to compare Christ with thus and thus and thus. His only way to know Christ is to see Him in His own light, in His own glory, in His own revelation. See, Scripture is interpreted by Scripture. He's the object of faith, and He's the light by which you see the object. He's the lesson, and He's the teacher. He's the sacrifice, and He's the priest who offers it. Am I confusing you? I hope not. He's the atonement of God, and He's the God to whom the atonement is offered. Our Lord said to the disciples, "Whom the men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they began to give Him all these answers, what people were saying about it. But He said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ. The Christ. This carpenter's the Christ. This child's the counselor. This man is God. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And He said, "Blessed are you, Simon. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't learn that by reason and research. But My Father which is in heaven, blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, they hear." That's what I'm saying. He's the lesson and He's the teacher. He's the sacrifice. He's the priest that offers it. There's no seeing Christ except in seeing Christ by His own light. He's the object of faith and the light by which He's seen. Look at this text. Let's look at it. It starts out this way. "Unto us a child is born, a son is given." Now there's no repetition here. This is not saying the same thing. Over in the book of Romans where it says that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That's the same person. Those who are called love God, and those who love God are called. But this is not saying the same thing. There's no repetition here, and the careful student will discover that the Holy Spirit doesn't waste words. A child is born unto us, a gift to us, coming for us and to us. A child is born, naturally born of a woman, not of a man, because He's the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Ghost. But He's a human. He's a man of flesh. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son into this world, made of a woman, made under the law. Call His name Jesus. He'll save His people from their sins. Call His name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. A child is born. A child in every sense of the word. A tender branch, a root out of a dry ground. A child. But wait a minute. A son is given. Not born, given. You see, this Son is given. He came down from heaven. He occupied the body of this child. That's what He said in Hebrews, "A body hast thou prepared Me." In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And verse 14 said, "And the Word was made flesh." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And the Word was with God, and He dwelt among us. And the Word was God, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. He was in the world. He made the world. And the world knew Him not. But I know Him, and some of you know Him. He's a child born. He's a son given. This baby, this body, this flesh had never existed before. He came and occupied this body God prepared. But the Son, from all eternity, the Son of God, the only begotten, well-beloved Son of the Almighty Father, came down and occupied this body. I have three questions. Is this true? Did God come to earth as a man? Did God come to earth to redeem sinners in a human body? The prophet said he did. Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God the Father said he did. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The angel said he did. They stood on the Judean hillside and said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. It's true. Well, if it is true, what does it mean? It means that we have a mediator, my friend. We have someone to plead our cause. We have a mediator with the Father. We have a righteousness produced, performed, accomplished by this God-man. We have an atonement. We have a ransom. Turn him loose. I found a ransom. We have a resurrection hope. Because he lives, we'll live. He came that we might have life. That's good news. What if it's not true? What if it's not true? Is it true God came to earth as a man? Yeah, I believe it. Do you? What if it's not true? Well, if it's not true, I don't have a mediator. I stand alone before God. I don't have a ransom. I've got to go to the judgment and face that which I deserve. I don't have a righteousness. I'll stand naked. I don't have a hope. Of all men, I'm most miserable. If this is not true, this is my only hope. These buildings they call churches can't save my soul. All of these demonstrations and all of these celebrations and all of these whoopee services, they can't put away my sin. I need a substitute. I need a mediator. I need a Savior. I need one to die in my place and to live for me before the holy, perfect law of God. I've got to have this God-man. Unto you is born a Savior. Unto us a child is born, and that son is given. All right? And the government shall be on his shoulders. Our Lord is no rejected reformer. When did this happen? You know, I hear preachers preach and I read these articles and see all these motion picture shows and television shows about this poor rejected reformer named Jesus, this poor impotent idol, this poor defeated idealist. Where'd that come from? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Never been anything less. He rules the kingdom of God. The scripture says the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. He has all authority in heaven and earth. That's what he said. All authority in heaven and earth. The Son quickens whom he will. He has all power over all flesh. That's what he prayed in John 17. He's the head of the church. He has all preeminence. God Almighty hath highly exalted him. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Oh, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He suffered death, yea, even the death of the cross. But God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess he's Lord by design, by decree, and by death. He's Lord. Don't you feel sorry for Jesus Christ? When he's on his way to the Calvary carrying his cross, the women wept and lamented, and he turned and said, don't you weep for me. You got any tears to shed, weep them for yourselves and for your children. Our Lord's a king. He has the keys of hell and death. You don't do anything for him. There's a whole lot he can do for you and me. You don't accept him. He's not up for your acceptance or rejection. He'd been rejected once and nailed to a cross. God put him in the hands of sinful men one time, and they spit on him and nailed him to a cross and accomplished the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God and crucified him and slew him and buried him, and after that had no more that they can do. Now, this whole shooting match is in his hands, and he'll give eternal life to whom he will. That's right. That's right. I hear preachers tell people, let Jesus save you. You don't let Jesus do anything. Not a thing in this world. You'll come to him like the leper of old who said, Lord, if you will, it's not your will or my will or free will or anybody else's will. It's God's will. Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. That's where you better come. Like the thief on the cross. I preached on that last week. He said, Lord, remember me. You see, we don't accept him. God the Father accepts us in the Beloved. The government's on his shoulders. It always has been. It is now. It is now. I wish I could get that across to folks. And we seem to be trying to play on the pity of people and get them to feel sorry for Jesus and let him do something or have something or go somewhere. But he reigns. He's on the throne. Here, watch this next line. His name shall be called Wonderful. Now, we carelessly call a whole lot of things wonderful, but that's his name, Wonderful. He's wonderful in his eternality. Glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's wonderful in his person. I and my Father are one. He's wonderful in his love. Greater love hath no man than this. He's wonderful in his life. He knew no sin. He's wonderful in his death. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. He's wonderful in his resurrection. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's wonderful in his power. He's able to save and able to keep and able to present you faultless before his throne of glory with exceeding joy. One preacher I heard years ago when I was a boy, I never will forget it. He said, you know, since I found out who wonderful is, I've never called anybody else wonderful. His name is Wonderful. Wonderful. Look at the next line. His name is Counselor. Would you know God? Would you really? A lot of people think they do. No man has seen God. No man has seen God. Don't you believe anybody that tells you that they saw God at the foot of their bed? They're lying. And they know it. What's more? No man has seen God save the Son and he to whom the Son will reveal. No man knoweth the Father. No man knows God except the Son, and the Son declares him. Isn't that what he said? They said, show us the Father. These are the apostles. Show us the Father. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the revelation of the Father. Would you know God? Would you look into the mysteries of God's purpose? Would you know God's wisdom? Christ is the wisdom of God. All the way through the Proverbs even, it says Christ is the wisdom of God. He said, I've manifested your name and your purpose. He's our counselor. Would you know God? Would you have the wisdom of God? Would you come to God? Christ is the counselor. I get so unhappy when I see all these people on these television programs plan play like counselors with telephones up at their ear, you know, and poor, sinful men and women calling these human counselors to get some spiritual wisdom about the mystery of the grace and glory of God. What a waste of time. Every religious person thinks he's a counselor. What foolishness. Christ is the counselor. If you want to know God, you come to Christ. He said, you take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Go to his word. Go to his truth. Let Christ be your counselor. Learn of Christ. You see what I'm saying? He's the counselor. I can give you all the wisdom I've got, and you'll still be just like me. You want his wisdom. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom. You see, he's the key that opens the Old Testament. He's the key that opens the patterns and pictures. He's the key that opens the Levitical law. He's the key that opens all of the promises of God. He is. He's the key of knowledge. Christ is our wisdom. And then it says He's the mighty God. The mighty God. Who is Jesus Christ? The mighty God. Every attribute of God is revealed in Him. Only God is good. And yet they said we find no fault in Him. Only God can give life. And yet He stood before the grave of Lazarus and said, come forward. And the dead, 4 days dead, came forward. Only God can forgive sin. And yet He said, without hesitation, thy sins be forgiven thee. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Only God can still the winds. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Christ can stop it. And Christ can send it. And Christ can stand on the bow of a ship and say, be still. And the wind, the boisterous wind, will lie down at His feet like a shepherd dog at the feet of his master. Only God knows which fish has the coin. Remember? Only God knows men's hearts and thoughts. Christ knew their thoughts. Only God knows the future. He said, destroy this temple. In 3 days I'll raise it up. Thomas made the right declaration. My Lord and my God. I'm not making any apologies, my friend. Jesus Christ is not a Son of God. There's a sense in which He's the Son of God. But Jesus Christ is the mighty God. He is the mighty God. He's God Almighty. And He's the only revelation of God you'll ever see. He's the everlasting Father. What name did He give to Moses at the burning bush? Who spoke to Moses at the burning bush? Moses said, when I go down to Egypt and tell them to let the people go, and my people ask me, well, who sent you? What's your name? What's your name? As the bush burned and was not consumed, and God spake to Moses, and Moses said, what's your name? God spoke. I am that I am. They came to Jesus Christ. And He said, before Abraham was, that same voice, I am. He said, I am the bread, the water, the door, the good shepherd, the way, the truth, the life. I am. He said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. When they came to the garden with their swords and spears, He said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. That voice spake again and said, I am. And they all fell backward. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You see how awesome this is. I don't profess to be able to explain this. I'm waiting. I know in part, prophesy in part, I see through a glass dimly. I'm waiting for a full revelation of His glory, only in a new body so I can stand it. Only with a new body so I can stand it. But this much I know. I do know some things. The God-man has the government. His name's Wonderful. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father, and He's the Prince of Peace. Peace. Everybody's talking about peace. There's not going to be peace on this earth. I know we're all getting excited because Russia's disarming and breaking up, but I tell you, the enemy of enemies, the arch enemy, the great Antichrist, is Satan. And until he's bound and cast into the bottomless pit, there's not going to be any peace among men, natural men, upon this earth. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, Christ said, to the end of time. But I tell you, there's peace in Christ. There's peace for a believer. There's peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's peace of heart. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. There's peace with one another. We have peace among ourselves because we're in Christ Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. And if there's any peace to be found with God, in the heart, with one another, it's going to be found through a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.